Previously on the Adventure Zone.
Hurley says, surely you all are familiar with the racing that takes place outside of town.
Oh, yeah. Big fans.
She went by the Raven and I went by the Ram. It's customary for battle wagon racers to be anonymous. And I've put together a vehicle I know I can beat her in. Mine, it requires what's called an arcane core. Fortunately, there's a rival group of racers called the Hammerheads, and they just got in a shipment.
You don't care if these guys get killed, right?
I do. I do. You can't.
Oh,
you can't.
I use thaumaturgy.
Thaumaturgy
train?
And the littlest one, standing outside by the gate, scampers off. You stay here, I'll go inside and check with the boss, and then,
Sounds great.
I change myself to look exactly like Jerry.
Listen to me, little Jerry. Give me a hand. I'll walk you to the John.
Sounds great.
Through the Stone of Far speech, Merlin Magnus, you hear,
wait a minute, who's that coming down the street? Wait a minute, that looks like you, little Jerry. What the hell is going on?
Oh, shit.
I certainly hope none of you are allergic to pickles, because our heroes are in one. It's the Adventure Zone.
Disguised himself as Little Jerry, came and lured out the booth guard because he had to go to the bathroom. But while walking him to the bathroom away from you two, they ran into the real Little Jerry.
And Taco took care of that?
No, we're still like living that right
we're
now.
The moment we're in. That's the Matthew McConaughey moment that we have to breathe through. Time is a flat circle.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Should I start or what?
Before we get started, I want to real quick say we got from Lucas Polanski this week.
What are you
really,
doing?
Well, we got some D20 keychains from Lucas, and they're really, really beautiful. And I want to say thank you before I forgot.
Okay. Great.
Like, do you have no respect for narrative?
That was part of the narrative. That was all in character. Magnus,
you ever notice at the beginning of Casablanca, like, Humphrey Bogart is like, and
straight up, hold up, props to Craft Services.
Shout out to Tide for sponsoring this production.
In real life, would that not have made that a way more awesome movie?
It would have been a cool movie.
If he just, like, looked into the camera and said, also, thanks, Steven, for the back rub before this shot. Let's
What's
go.
This old-timey movie you're talking about?
All right, hip.
Also, eat Doritos. I'm Casablanca. Thanks
Man,
for watching.
Can I compliment all of us on our Humphrey Bogart impressions, too?
Hey, Humphrey Bogart imitation.
Hey, you gotta eat these Doritos.
Play it again, Sam.
That's good.
You gotta eat these Doritos, see? It's like a spicy tortilla chip.
That was Mo from the Three Stooges.
It's the latest thing from Mexico. Check out the new Mexican treat, Doritos.
We call them Mexican crunch chips.
Potato chips, right? This is going to run these right out of business.
Justin, I feel like you're stalling because nobody knows what they're going to do.
I've got it. I've got my situation on lock. You want me to start? We kick it off?
Little Jerry sees the two of you walking and says, hey, that looks like me. What's going on?
Holy shit, an imposter. I cast sleep.
On whom?
On Little Jerry.
Okay. How do we resolve this spell cast?
Let me pop open my handy dandy spell manual here, and I'll tell you exactly the answer to the question which you have so kindly asked to me.
Actually, you know, if you had these nifty spell cards like I have, you wouldn't need that old-fashioned computer.
Now God, we absolutely need to get all of you all of those before we do the live show.
Ugh, these are the coolest.
I don't use spells. Do I have like?
Yeah, Travis.
Cards
Travis has
where I punch.
Travis has one spell card, and it just says punch. It says
punch.
Roll dice to punch.
To be fair, I also have a kick. I've got kick, punch, and it's all in the mind.
Do you not have a headbutt card?
Magnus would never risk his moneymaker.
He has a head and a butt card.
Oh, and a folding the middle chair.
You don't want to know what the butt card does. Justin, sure, it's taking you a while to find that spell, my dude.
Well, Justin can't read.
Okay, it's a first level enchantment. Uh-huh. The creature with the lowest hit points. So I roll.
That's going to be a little Jerry.
Yeah, I roll 5d8. That's if it's split. So
I roll 5d8.
And
yeah,
if
I
beat
this.
His hit points.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, let me just grab.
They're right
good.
Over here.
What? Oh, they're thanks, Pop. That's a little diamond shape. Okay. 3, 6.
Mafia. Oh, sorry.
6.
Sign of the Beast.
And 5.
Okay.
So that's, I don't know, 3, 6, 3, 6.
23.
Little Jerry says, "What the hell is going on?" And he falls to the ground.
Okay, who's with me? Do I have a name of the guy who's with me?
You don't know his name. He was the guy in the booth. And he goes, "Okay, well, I guess that explains that."
Can you believe this? It looks like we're getting infiltrated.
So he was trying to infiltrate us, and then he just passed out? Did he get spooked or something?
Listen, what would the boss be the angriest about if we lost? The core, right? We need to go check on the core. Make sure it's okay, because we're obviously under some sort of threat here.
Yeah, I mean, you got a pretty good point. I feel like we need to grab old Jerry, though, the fake old Jerry.
Fake old Jerry and kill him. I'm totally with you on this. We need to kill him.
Well, no.
Fake old Jerry.
No, I was saying fake old Jerry we could bring inside and we got to interrogate him.
When did you go soft? Huh? When did you go soft?
Well, no, it's just like we need to gather information.
We were going up together in the streets. Out there in the streets of Gold Cliff. You were never soft.
We met like 2 months ago.
You saw a dead bird, you'd step on it. You'd say, "I hate birds." You had no heart. Heartless Hank, we called you. Was it Hank? Remind me what your real name is, because I can only remember the great nicknames I've given you over the months.
You've never called me Heartless Hank. What are you saying?
Sorry, had a seizure. Listen, we got to kill this imposter. Or throw him in a well or something. Let's well him.
He's going to make a... Heartless Hank is going to make an insight check.
This whole time, like... Merle and I are listening to this through the far stones, just like shaking our heads.
Yeah. Yes. He rolled a 15, so he is becoming increasingly agitated. He says, "I tell you what, bud, why don't you actually tell me my real name?"
Okay, I roll a Sherlock this out.
I roll a perception check.
Okay.
16!
He's wearing a necklace that says Bradley. No.
It is completely conceivable he would have a name tag. Maybe.
Or in a gang? In a gang? Welcome to MS-13. Here's your name tag, Charles.
Here's your HR packet. There's some stuff on investment in there. Some essential logins for our health insurance portal.
Which is an actual portal because we're playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Right. He, quick as a flash, reaches down to his belt and pulls out a dagger and holds it at you.
I didn't get to answer the question, though.
Yeah, okay.
Bradley. Griffin, do you have the name in your head? Do you know this man's name?
You're saying, okay, you actually want to take a shot in the dark. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write it down. This is only fair.
I'll take my headphones off for 10 seconds, and you tell them, okay?
Well, no, because then Dad could tell you.
I won't tell him. He's got his headphones on. I'm on a microphone. You'll hear everything I say.
Plus, he's our father, Griffin.
Yeah, Kreskin.
Is he gone?
Yeah, he's not listening. He's got his headphones off.
Barbara.
Excellent. Okay, you can put your headphones back on.
Now, can we give him hints?
Okay, and he's holding this dagger right at you. He says, "What's my name?"
Listen, we go back a long ways, right?
No, we don't. We met 2 months ago. My name now, I'm a getcha like a fish.
Your name, of course, is... Taco.
Okay.
Psych, that's just mine. Say my name. I cast Magic Missile.
Okay, so I'll give you...
Magnus starts running over there.
Okay, so we'll do a quick surprise round, but Taco's the only person who's going to get the benefits of it.
So cast magic missile.
Come on.
Oh, God, I actually have to cast it now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I create three glowing darts of magical force. Each hits with 1d4 plus 1 force damage to the target. They all strike simultaneously, and I can direct them to hit one creature or several.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
I think at this point we're all pretty familiar with the magic missile sort of family of products.
Well, I am going to cast it as a second level spell, because I actually have more of those.
Oh, damn.
And add another dart to it.
Oh,
so
shit.
It'll be... 4 1d4 plus 1 force damage.
Okay.
Bolts. So 3 plus 1 4 4 plus 1 5
9.
So that's 9, thanks. 2 plus 1 3
12
3 plus 1
36
No. 16
points.
Okay, he rears back his dagger as you hesitate to tell him his name. But before he can bring that dagger down on you, you twirl your umbrella around like a badass gunslinger move. It opens up, and four darts of light simultaneously shoot out of it, go take an arc through the air, and all four collide with him at the same time. He is staggered by this. You interrupt his attack, but he is still standing. And let's get into what I'm sure will be a very, very short fight.
Have I reached them?
You, Aunt Merle, were you running towards the scene as well?
I was waddling.
Okay. You're both about 25 feet away from this scene as we get into initiative time.
Rolled an 11.
One.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
13.
And you get to roll again. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
Y'all got to remember your shits.
19 plus 1, so a 20.
Okay. Merle is first in the order. Merle, you're about 25 feet away from this scene. You all took off running. You see this magical fireworks show, and it's your turn.
When we reach. Taco, why are you fighting with Barbara?
Well, you wouldn't know his name.
No, he said it earlier. You weren't there, Griffin.
You're right. Sorry. I forget that sometimes you guys hang out with my characters without
me. It was Barbara?
Yeah.
It was Barbara.
Should have guessed Barbara.
I'm just going to haul off and hit him with my Warhammer.
I like
okay.
it.
Okay. Roll a d20?
Which I have named Smusher.
Oh.
Ooh, well, I like that.
That's fun.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cute. 11.
That is a miss.
Ooh.
You run in, yelling, here comes the train, chugga chugga choo choo,
get ready to get smooshed,
and you bring the smoosher down on him, and it just sort of glances off his elbow,
whiff,
you whiffed, yeah. Next in the order with the 11 was Magnus, I think.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm gonna two-handed battle axe at him.
Okay.
Attempt to cleft him in twain.
Okay.
That is 13 plus 7, 20.
Yeah, that's a hit.
And then 1d10 plus... Which one's a d10? That one's a d10. Oh, that's a 10 plus 6, 16.
Okay, yeah. You don't cleft him in twain, but you get pretty deep in him, and he falls to the ground.
No!
What's wrong?
I never even learned his name.
Yeah.
Barbara.
Yeah, I'll never know.
Yeah, it was Barbara.
I'll never figure it out. It's lost in time.
Nope. It's
Barbara.
It
says right here in his wallet, I am Barbara.
Listen, I'll use
also,
process of elimination.
Gold and I'm taking them.
I'll use process of elimination. It's clearly not Taco. So that's one name down.
We'll put that on the tombstone.
Let's start with Aaron. That's at the top, two A's.
As this man is bleeding out at your feet, you remember the orders of Lieutenant Hurley, who humbly requested that you not murder anybody during this sneaking mission.
Oh, I meant that non-lethally, Clefton.
You said Clefton Twain, sir.
But I meant non-lethally.
Tell me, if you can explain to me how you cut somebody in half survivably.
With my words.
Yeah, what kind of gross Hannibal stuff are you, expertise
when
in human...
When I said Clefton Twain, I meant, cause some kind of psychological schism. Put him in a fugue state.
Yeah, he's in a state, all right.
What if you cut him in half at the waist, thereby avoiding the life and death organs?
I cut him in half at the waist, and then he just plops back together.
Do I have time to heal him?
Yeah, sure, if you want to burn a healing spell on him.
Oh, good
point.
Remind
me, what did Hurley say would happen if we killed somebody?
Well, she is a cop, so there's not,
But she's not, prescient. She won't know.
This is going to be a lot. Okay, should we talk about this in character? Let's talk about this character.
Listen, I feel like she's going to be pretty hot. Okay, first off, let me own this one. Because I did. This is on me, all right? This one's tacos. But it seems like we should heal him, because if he dies, Hurley, we need her on our side. Now, there is one other option. Maybe we just disappear this little problem. She didn't say anything about these guys wandering off, wandering off and no one ever hears from them again. She didn't say anything about that, right?
Good point.
Maybe we might need those heal slots.
We may need the heal slots. We're definitely not going to need a corpse.
So you're saying we eat him?
But I'm saying, no, what?
No, wait, no.
Stop recommending that, Merle.
Who said anything about eating
him? Kidding.
We just need to, get
maybe
rid
an
of
extra
it.
Dimensional hole?
Oh, if only one of us had that.
So you're not going to burn a heel, but I'm going to burn.
Let's face it, if you look at our history.
How about you take an extra dimensional shovel and dig a fucking hole? How about that? How about that thing I said? That's an option, lazy bones.
Griffin, are there any wells?
Are there any wells nearby?
Do I see any wells?
We're hell on wells.
Yeah,
or maybe a pig farm.
That work? No, you are. There are no wells nearby. So you are
open
maybe,
graves.
No open graves. You're
cornfield.
About two blocks away from the edge of Gold Cliff. From the cliff of Gold Cliff.
I'll be right back.
Let's put a pin in this.
I'll be right back. Gotta throw
you guys,
a body.
No, let's just work together. It'll make better fan art that way.
All right, you grab a leg. You grab a thigh and a wing. I'll get this side.
And let's get it eaten.
Okay.
What? I thought we were talking about eating him.
Not going to eat him.
Huh. We're going to chuck him.
We might regret it later.
All right, we carry the body. It's dark, right? So we carry the body through.
Yeah, it's dark. So you carry the body out of this seedy side street where the Hammerheads headquarters is located. Towards the edge of town, the buildings get a bit nicer because there's actually a pretty scenic view overlooking the cliff. Looking over, there's a big basin of water that the waterfalls that are pouring out of Gold Cliff are feeding. It's a really lovely view, but it is dark and nobody's out on the streets tonight. So you're on the edge, you're on the precipice of glory.
I feel like somebody should say something.
I'll say something.
Geronimo!
Let me say something. We should check his pockets, because I don't think we checked.
Yeah. Oh, we find the keys to the place.
What did we find?
You did find a key. You find a picture of his wife and kids.
Oh, they're kind of ugly.
Yeah, and they're all holding swords. And
they look racist.
They're all wearing...
They have a racist look about them.
You saw that too, right?
Yeah, the little kid has a shirt about orcs. It's very offensive, and I won't...
Very offensive.
They're wearing fantasy Confederate flag t-shirts. So it's a Confederate flag, but it has dragons on it.
I don't even know why Fantasy Spencer sells those.
No.
It says fantasy ironic, but let's be honest. It's just fantasy offensive.
And he has a pouch with 300 gold coins inside of it. So this guy must have just
boy.
He must have just won a poker game or something.
Yeah, well, life giveth and life taketh away, huh?
Well, life giveth and we taketh away.
Well, they have more specifically, yes.
We'll always remember you, not Taco.
And Probably not Aaron.
Let's chuck him. He's gone. Chuck.
Okay.
We'll call him Chuck.
Okay.
When I was just opening my Extreme Teen Bible.
Chuck goes flying
ashes
through
to
the
ashes.
Air.
Oh, damn.
And he gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and pretty soon you can't see him anymore as he falls way, way down. Okay, mission accomplished, guys.
We killed a guy.
We returned to Hurley, drinks all around.
Well,
what?
What?
Were we doing something?
All right, well, let's head in.
Okay, you head back to the Hammerhead base, cautiously stepping over the sleeping little Jerry on your way back.
And the pool of blood that we kind of, like, shuffle some sawdust over.
Yeah, you get rid of the traces of your heinous act. It was all in self-defense, though. It was self-offense? Is that a thing?
Self-offense.
Okay.
Yeah. We decide never to speak of it again until next summer.
You make your way back to... Oh, God, I'm totally going to use that. You make your way back to the front entrance of the Hammerhead base. Again, the walls are pretty high, about 12 feet with thick barbed wire on the top of it. There's a small entrance in the large gate. That's the one that one of the guards went back into, the one that you fooled, Magnus. And then there is a booth next to the gate. And that is where the booth guard was.
And there's probably some way to open the gate in the booth. Is it like a automated thing?
You did see the booth attendant open up the door to let the other guy in.
So do we want to try the key on the booth?
Yeah.
The door to the booth? Okay.
Okay.
Type in try key on booth.
Okay. You try key on booth. You just like start ramming the key into the booth and it doesn't do anything. But then you remember how keys work. And put it into the keyhole, and it opens the door to the booth.
Success!
Hooray!
Thanks. Yay, us!
We've solved the booth puzzle.
Well, you used a key on a keyhole. Let's not get crazy.
Victory
inside,
where victory can be found.
Inside, there is a large lever that says gate control, and a small button that says door control on it.
Well, what now?
It could be a trick.
Let's not open the gate.
Let's open the door. We push the button.
Okay. You push the open door button, and sure enough, the smaller door that is built into the much, much larger gate pops open, allowing you access.
We did it!
Let's access!
As you enter the Hammerhead base proper, you sort of get the lay of the land. There isn't anybody out in the main field of this base. It is all surrounded by this same 12-foot wall. This is the only point, the only obvious access point in and out of this base. But it is a large, open field with three buildings. One is the largest building. It is a very long building with a bunch of garage doors built into it and ramps leading up in through those doors. One of the doors, the one on the far left, is open. The other five are closed. So this is a very big garage. You can hear people inside of it. You hear the sound of, you know, metal hitting metal. You hear the sound of work. You hear, you know, people having conversations. You see some light, like sparks, coming through that open door. So you get the idea that there's a bunch of activity in this big, big garage. That's directly in front of you. To your left, there is a much smaller building, with, just one garage door on it, and no windows. It is just sort of a plain cinder block, building. Just one story high, and significantly smaller than the other garage. And then to your right is another one story building, that is pretty long. There's no garage doors on this one, but there are a few windows and, just one door, on the front of it. And, that is the lay of the land. You got a big garage, a small garage, and what looks like a tiny little one-story flat.
Magnus points at his eyes, like does the two fingers, like my eye, like let's look in the little building. And like points at the little building.
Are there people who are going to see us between here and there?
There's nobody out in just sort of the general concourse area here.
Okay. Well, let's go check it out then.
We do full on like a Looney Tunes sneak.
Okay. Do you guys want to do a full-blown sneak check for me?
Oh, yeah. Sure. I forgot how the game works.
13 plus.
I'm looking for my sneak.
It's stealth.
Stealth. Okay. 13 plus 16.
I got 14.
I got 4.
Okay.
Merle.
No modifier there?
You have a modifier, Dad?
Not in stealth.
You clanky bastard.
I am a big old clanky bastard.
Merle just sneezes. Merle just, achoo! No control. No control over it. It's high pollen season.
It's all this grass. It's all the grass.
Which is weird because you're like a nature cleric. You would anyway, you sneeze. You hear the activity inside the large garage kind of stop for a second. And the three of you stand perfectly still. And then it continues. They continue working inside. The three of you creep over to the small garage, trying to sort of ascertain what's going on. If there is a hole through which to peek inside of this small garage, you cannot find it. It seems pretty impermeable. The garage door is a thick, heavy metal. Unlike the garage doors on the main garage, and it is secured by a padlock that is like the size of Merle. This building is locked the hell down.
See, this is whispering. I'm going to say it at normal level so it doesn't throw off my recording, but I am whispering now as Magnus.
Okay, this will be fun.
This seems like this building is where they're keeping some kind of like prototype engine wagon thing, right? Seems pretty well secured.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I've never been to a garage before, but your read on it seems good. Merle, what do you think?
Yeah, but I know our dungeon master pretty well, and I think that if...
What is a dungeon master?
I meant, I know that those dungeon bastards, I know when they design these things.
Now I'm with you.
Usually the first thing they want you to look at is the last thing you want to look at.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure. This is kind of a Schrodinger's cat thing. I'm not even sure it is in there or not in there at this exact moment.
It won't be in there unless we look in there and see. It doesn't exist.
There could be a prototype with type wagon in there. It could be full of dogs. Could be just chalk ceiling to floor full of wild, vicious dogs.
So or tameable, like, sweet dogs.
Here's a question. Do any of us have any sort of, like, lock-picking abilities? Like, none, right?
Man, that would be so great, but no.
Wow, it would be great to not have to blast every door open like I'm Superman.
So, with my vehicle proficiency... Let me tell you what I know about garages.
Travis cast sense vehicles.
Let me tell you what I know about garages. My bet is that one with all the doors is like the workshop where they like all work on cars together. The building with no garages is the office, headquarters, hangout of the gang. This seems like the place where they keep their like number one winningest
Mach 5
wagon.
So there is a door that does have, that we can see a lock, right?
Yeah, it's the size of Merle.
Okay. Merle, do you have anything that would be, like, quiet? That's my concern.
All my shit is loud.
Yeah, I mean, I could do, like...
Do you have a Lohamora, Justin?
I do have a spell called Silence. For the duration, no sound can be created within or pass through a 20-foot radius sphere centered on a point you choose within range. What if I cast that at the door,
and then
you beat the shit out of it?
Yeah, he's the Phantom Fist lockpick.
Okay. I stressed this the last time we played. Phantom Fist is not a nuclear
magic
bomb.
Card.
Right. The Phantom Fist allows you to punch enemies and move them far away from you. But it will not melt steel beams.
Griffin, I would like to roll a perception check, maybe insight check, to see if Magnus thinks he could chop the lock, given...
you have to do an insight check to figure out what you're thinking?
Oh, that's why I said perception. I don't want to just ask the question, DM, could I chop the lock?
That wouldn't be any kind of check. It would take some doing.
Oh, and hey, I don't want to hurt Rail Splitter.
I got this.
Okay.
I cast Clairvoyance. That allows me to put a marker into an obvious location that is unfamiliar to me, such as behind a door, and it remains in place for the duration. When I cast the spell, I could choose seeing or hearing, so I'm going to go with seeing, and I can use the chosen sense through the sensor as if I were in the space. And as an action, I can switch between seeing and hearing.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah, it works out pretty good. So I'm going to cast Clairvoyance behind the door, seeing. Let me check that spell slot off, because it's a third level spell. This is like the legit magic here. I'm going to need to focus. Magic. There, okay. I cast it.
You whisper.
That's the sound it makes.
You whisper, magic.
magic.
And
prestidigitation.
Grasping onto your magic umbrella, Merle and Magnus, you see a third eye glowing a bright blue on Taco's butt as he closes his two non-butt eyes. Taco, you can see. Does your third eye have like any kind of light dark vision, anything like that?
Okay. Well, so I can see as the. I can use the sense as though I were in its place, and I can see in the dark.
Okay.
So, yes.
Then you see, using your infrared vision that's built into your elven eyes, what looks like a tank. It looks like it's a wagon. It is a battle wagon, but it resembles a tank. A tank that on the front of it has three rows of sharp teeth. And mounted above those teeth are two gigantic cannons. And then inside of the mouth of this tank is a large grappling hook, a large, spiny, very violent-looking grappling hook. And then above that is the, driver's cabin of this tank. And then mounted above that on the roof of this tank... it looks like there is another sort of shielded compartment. And as you sort of take in this vehicle, you realize that it is a tank-shaped battle wagon, but it's also kind of in the shape of a shark.
I don't know that much about the core thing that I'm looking for. Would I know enough to know if it's, like, been installed in this tank, or...
No, you wouldn't know that.
Well, guys, good news, bad news. Bad news, tank... Good news, not dogs.
Great. I would say that our next stop is building number three, the headquarters, because we can hear people in building number one. We know that there's like at least more than one.
I think we should go to the other building.
Yes.
And take a look at building number three.
The scuttlebug.
No, you don't have it anymore. Travis, why do you keep bringing that up?
Griffin took Scuddy away.
You took it away from yourself with your actions.
I don't look at it that way. I love the Scuttle Buddy.
Yeah, we all did. It was very brandable. Did you know I was in the talks with Hasbro? I was in the talks with Hasbro.
Hey, speaking of Hasbro, listen, if any of you have like Hot Wheels or anything like that, these battle wagons would be pretty nifty Christmas presents.
Are you asking who makes Hot... You just used our podcast to add... I can Siri that for you.
No, I don't want to. I'm just saying...
Nobody can respond to you in the podcast and tell you who
Mattel
makes Hot Wheels.
If Mattel is out there, Mattel licensing listening. People, you know, I'm just saying.
Hey everyone, this is Griffin McElroy, your Dungeon Master, your good buddy. Thank you for listening to The Adventure Zone, episode 22. Subtitled, The McElroys Fight a Bunch of Joe Pesci's from Home Alone. the Adventure Zone, the Pesci Wars, is what this arc should have been titled, but I didn't know. I didn't know that this was going to be such an important angle. Thank you to everybody who tweeted about the show using the Zonecast, the hashtag. I was going to introduce another new character in this week's episode, but we didn't get around to it. But yeah, if you tweet using the Zonecast, the hashtag, you might end up as a character in the game, like Captain Bane or Lieutenant Hurley. Got a few Jumbotron messages here. If you want to get a message on the show, you can go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron and get a spot on this show or any of the other fine shows in the Maximum Fun family of products. This message, though, is for Mikey Person, and it's from Heather Person. I'm assuming that's their last name and not some weird self-identification. Hello, I'm Griffin, Person. Just kidding. I'm a sentient pizza. It's like midnight the night before we're leaving town on our tour, so I'm getting a little sleep silly. Anyway, Mikey, here is your message from Heather. It reads, to my favorite husband, you are my Garrus You are my Garrus Valkarion, and I wanted to wish you a happy anniversary on our favorite podcast on the on the Maximum Fun Network. Here's to the rest of our lives, testing your reach and my flexibility. Sorry this message is so late. I guess we'll have to change the date of our anniversary. I like that. I like that a lot. You meet us in the middle, and we'll do our best, and you do our best. It sounds like you've done your best, because it sounds like you two are very much in love with each other. Happy anniversary, you two. Got another message here. It's for Brian and Tristan, and it's from Cat and Gerbil. Cat and Gerbil say, meow, squeak, squeak. Nah, I'm just kidding. There's a real message here. Cat and Gerbil say, hey, Brian and Tristan, happy birthdays from the Adventure Zone. Even though we moved away, you're still our best friends, and we always love to see you during our games. Here's hoping for many more years of zany adventures filled with dungeons, dragons, robots, creepy old ghosts, fuzzy animals, and the gang. How did you know that's the next story arc? Is going to be full of robots, creepy old ghosts, and fuzzy animals. But no dungeons or dragons. I have a very strict anti-dungeon, anti-dragon policy here on the Adventure Zone. Thank you for writing in, and happy birthdays, Brian and Tristan. And one more message here. This one's for Jin, and it's from Malcolm, who says, I love you lots. Here's to 5 years of marriage and many more to come. Each year we've been together, you have filled in the parts of me I thought would be missing forever. Congratulations, you've solved my heart puzzle. Oh, shit, that's great. That's really good. A lot of love on this week's show. It's such a shame that all of these missives of love had to follow such a grisly corpse hiding. But, well, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and that's the Adventure Zone. Happy love, Jen and Malcolm. Thanks for sharing the show with all your friends. We don't spend a dime on advertising, so it's the only way that we have of getting the word out there. So we really, really appreciate that. And I think that's it. Go listen to the other Maximum Fun shows. They're all really terrific. We will have another episode up for all y'all on September the 10th. So we will talk to you then. Bye.
So let's check building 3. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go. And by the way, you're not the only guy with clairvoyance.
Oh, excellent. That's wonderful. Excellent.
I don't have it. I just want to make that. I don't want to try to pull that card later.
Process of elimination.
Yeah.
Let's go over that building. I'll use clairvoyance and we'll see what's in there.
It's not me. It's not you. It's not Barbara. He's dead. So
it's me.
It's him. Yeah. It's
okay. Him. So you're going over to the other building and now.
This Merle, one has windows, though.
Yeah, I'm glad that somebody pointed that out.
I can just, pop Merle on my shoulders.
We actually don't even need to go over there. We can just chill.
If you're going to clairvoyant it?
Yeah, I mean...
But we don't need to if there's windows.
Yeah, that's Travis makes that's a great
true.
Point.
Yeah, that's true.
Do we have to sneak again?
No. Okay, I like this tableau that Travis has just suggested of Merle climbing up on Magnus.
We're going to do a little Musicians of Brennan here.
What?
There's like three people that got that reference and really appreciated it.
I feel like that's a liberal.
The story's lesson. This, Griffin. There's some animals, right? And they want
all right, all right, all right. You're on his shoulders. No, no. You're on his shoulders.
All right. I feel like a child at the circus, but okay. Now, am I standing on his shoulders, or is it like daddy carrying
cotton
a little
candy?
Boy?
You are on a baby Bjorn on Magnus's chest, which is weird because it's like he is actually higher than you
in all right,
this situation.
Well, let me describe what I see, but I'm going to do it in Griffin's voice.
Okay. You see inside of this building.
I see. I'm doing it in your voice.
Merle, I'm a poopy pee-pee boy. Wow, wow, wow. Hear me cry. Got like him. A poopy baby.
Well, I'm sitting on Travis's shoulders, so.
I see rows of bunk beds with some storage chests at the foot of each one. You see some lewd posters on the wall. Ugh. You see some doused lanterns all around the room on some end tables. So it looks like your standard issue sort of bunk. From this window, from this vantage point, you can only see two rough-looking individuals asleep. One is across the room from the window you're looking at. He's on the top bunk. And then just to your left, through this window, just to my left through this window, you see another ruffian asleep on the bottom bunk.
You know, we haven't checked the doors to even see if it's locked.
Well, we wanted to scope out before we just, like, walked in. You never broke into a place before, Ned?
They're exhausted from looking at their lewd posters.
Oh, that'll take it out of you, though. That's fair.
They were practicing their cantrips.
I try the door. It's quietly, though.
It is unlocked, yeah.
Okay.
Let me cast silence. Let me use that silence.
Yeah. Cast silence.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we don't want to wake them up. Like, we're going to have to do a sneak check. Let's just, like, not wake them up.
So you're just casting silence inside of this room?
Yeah. Right, Dad?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It'll encompass most of the room. Are you going to sort of shape it so it doesn't...
It's a 20-foot radius sphere, so wouldn't that pretty much be
right,
the
but
whole
if it,
room?
If they're inside of that sphere, can they hear you?
No.
I thought it was like a Ziploc, keeps the good sounds in, keeps the bad sounds out.
No, I think it's only silent. Like
no sound could be created within that 20-foot radius.
Okay. Yeah. You drop it inside of just in the middle of the room.
Of course, that means we can't talk to each other.
We've got all of our hand signals.
It'll be fine.
You drop it in the middle of the room, and sure enough, one of the ruffians was just like sawing logs, like like really, really bad, and that just disappears. So either he has just suddenly died, which means another trip back to Cliff City. Or your silent spell has activated in its intended way.
Or I cured his sleep apnea.
Yeah.
In all of these bunks, is there one that looks like, oh, that's the main dude's bunk?
It's hard to see anything. Are you looking for the most lewd poster?
No, I'm looking to see if there's anywhere where, like, there might be a diary or a key hung on a hook or
dear diary,
something.
Dear diary, jammed it again to these totally rad posters.
Dear mother, thank you again for the totally lewd, crude, and rude poster of the babes.
They're quite scintillating. Thank you, mama.
You know the way to my libido, mama.
You know my love of half-orc, half-centaur women.
There is one chest that is open. And inside, you can see some roughshod looking clothing.
One chest that is open, other than Barbara's, you mean?
but that is the situation in here. You can start overturning these chests if you want. It's gonna be quiet.
Fine. Like, why restrain ourselves now?
Hog wild, yeah.
Yeah, okay, you start popping chests open. It seems like most of these
are throwing clothes in the air like the Great Gatsby. Everybody's just like, whee!
Yeah, you're not finding any, like, valuables. You're not finding the core, but you are finding, like, a lot of clothing. That kind of almost seems like a hammerhead, like, uniform, almost.
Hell yes.
One might say a disguise.
There are leather jackets with a badass-looking shark
I take three of those.
Okay.
Do we have? Are there enough components in here that we could cobble together something that approximating a uniform or disguise for each of the three of us?
Yeah, maybe slap a little bit of grease paint on you know your parts, and you could probably pass for a hammerhead.
I do that.
I sure hope one of these uniforms has short pants.
Yeah, there is actually a dwarven uniform.
The only dwarf in the world.
Yeah. So the three of you are all dressing up?
Yeah.
Montage.
The three of you, I'm going to definitely put some, 80s synth pop under here as the three of you do each other's makeup and try and
step out as everybody, crosses their arms and shakes their head, and we go back and try a different hat on.
You chase each other around.
I'll go with girls. Just want to have fun. That would be perfect.
Well, it would be
if we can get Captain Lou Albano to come out of.
We can't get the rights.
The grave.
The rights. We gotta.
Okay, but yeah, the three of you come out of the bunk fully decked out in hammerhead gear.
Cool.
Okay. Should we away to building
one?
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems like the only building left.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of the three, it's definitely the one we haven't looked at.
Hey, can we have caps? Can we have really cool caps?
What kind of caps?
You know, like ball caps on our head. You know, something really neat.
Ooh, I want like a shark cabbie on it. Hat.
No, there's no... One of you's
wearing a...
Well, thinking if we had a hat, that way it would help disguise our features.
Yeah, we have hats.
There are hats, but unfortunately, it's only fedoras.
Oh, no.
So you're going to go check out Big Garage?
Let's check out Big Garage.
Let's check it out.
How are you gonna do that? Are you gonna just waltz right in? Are you gonna pee through the door? What are you doing?
Well, in our
now,
disguises...
Magnus believes the way to infiltrate anything in disguise is with confidence.
Yeah, for sure. Let's just walk right in the front.
Act like we belong there.
Act like we belong. Act like you've been there before. That's what I say.
Okay. The three of you waltz right into the open door.
Wait,
of
are there
the...
windows?
There are no windows. No, there's just...
It would just be more suspicious to peep in windows, I think.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, here's what we do. We walk in, and we're all singing Greased Lightning.
Oh, that's good. Like the T-Birds.
Yeah.
I love it.
Greased Lightning!
That's how that goes.
Okay.
No question about that.
They will welcome us with open, greasy arms.
The three of you walk into this room singing show tunes, and everyone inside this building looks at you and kills you. No, they look at you, interrupt the hard work that's going on, the hard automotive work. They look at you for a second. You stand perfectly still.
Hey, guys, these are the new recruits. Walk, I'm showing them around the place. Just go about your business. Don't worry about it.
They all... look at you in stunned silence, and then they get back to work working on their cars.
Yeah,
and what
well, they dodged. Yeah,
we solved the puzzle.
We have solved your guys looking at us puzzle.
Inside of this room, you see there are a few people in here. There are two of these ruffians wearing these hammerhead uniforms. That are working on a much smaller battle wagon than the one that you clairvoyantly saw inside of that garage, Taco. Altogether, there are three battle wagons in this room, one of which is sort of suspended in the air on on that lift platform that they have in garages sometimes. So you got two ruffians working on one car. You have one ruffian. Who looks considerably cleaner than the others, who's sitting at a desk going over some paperwork. He was definitely giving you the most side eye as you came in. There are two more ruffians, so four total and the clean one. The other two ruffians are in the corner, and they are holding clubs, and they are they're messing with a sixth figure in this room. This sixth figure is not wearing the hammerhead uniform. They are pretty gigantic, and they are sort of covered in this burlap, crude cloth outfit. They are chained to a chair, and they are wearing this full metal helmet that is just sort of completely encapsulating their head. But these two ruffians are just sort of given this captured figure a really rough time. There is scrap, just piles of scrap lying all over. That is the situation. The ruffian sitting at the desk stands up and says, so Taco, are you still disguised as Lil Jerry?
I am, yes.
Okay.
I want everyone to know that when Magnus sees this figure getting beaten up, it's really hard for him not to, run over there and stop him. Very upsetting to him.
One of the two guys that's beating up this figure is regular Jerry, the one that Magnus chased inside.
Ooh.
Regular Jerry sees Magnus and yells across the room, "Why didn't you wait at the door? Well, Jerry, I was going to take care of this. I was just sort of putting him on ice, giving him the freeze out, see if he really wanted it."
Look, we recruited him. Now we got our own, holy man. It's got to be good luck, right?
Guess that would be fun. We could do, church services and stuff here on Sundays.
I would like to try to ingratiate myself using my vehicle proficiency to look under the suspended cart and give some sort of insight that they're like, oh, he knows his shit.
Okay, but I'm not going to let you just say that. You're going to have to do it because I want to hear it.
Yeah, I just don't know what that role is.
Okay, so while regular Jerry is talking to this guy at the desk, these are the new guys. They came here. What do you think? And the clean guy goes, "Yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe it's not time really for us to expand. You know, I'm not looking to split our winnings any more than we already have. I don't know what these two guys could bring to the table except for a little bit of divinity in the short one's case."
"I see here that you've got your suspension connected counterclockwise. You know, if you do that in a counterclockwise clockwise motion so that each one is interacting with the other one independently, you're going to get much better handling."
Regular Jerry says, "What the hell are you talking about?
Listen to this guy. That makes perfect sense to me. Another person who knows about cars.
You're saying
wagons.
I don't even understand how something could be counterclockwise and clockwise in the same sort of orientation. Why don't you do it?
Oh, you need to put a second set of gears so that each one is moving independently instead of one driving force driving both of them at the same time."
The guy sitting at the desk goes, "Double gears, of course! Why didn't we think of that?"
"Hey, see what I tell you? He's a real genius. He's a real Einstein.
I want to see you. Can you pop the suspension out in the way that you're suggesting? I want to see how it actually works. Can you do that for me?"
"Oh, of course. Hand me that set of gear. No, the 8 teeth. Yes."
I can't tell where the fake stuff starts and the real stuff begins because
I'm vehicle proficient. I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Okay.
So I'm under there and I'm doing some shit and I'm working on it.
And I say to Jerry, I say, while he's doing this, I say, "Hey, listen, you know, this guy is real sharp. We should show him the core after this. See what he makes of that, huh?"
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I'm sure if he's this proficient with vehicles, I'm sure he's seen an arcane core before."
And I finish.
Oh my god, this guy's like some sort of some wagon Houdini. He's a Honda Merlin. As you are showing off your proficiency, this chained up figure has sort of just been looking at the floor, dejected. And it looks up, and you can actually see two eye holes are cut into this full metal helmet.
Oh, crap.
And he sees the three of you, or should I say he sees the two of you and Taco disguised as Lil Jerry. And from inside of his mask, you hear him go,
and
he starts
poops.
To shake and... He poops. He might poop. He's very angry. He's shaking. He's rattling his chains. He's moving, trying to get out of his bindings.
As near as I can tell, have I ever seen this cat before?
I mean, his whole head is encased in metal, and
I know, but there's other people have other body parts. I'm just asking if the sound or if I recognize him as somebody we've run into before.
It's gonna be hard to say. I will say the only thing that you can sort of see other than this burlap jumpsuit, through the eye holes, it almost looks like he's kind of hirsute. He's kind of hairy in there.
I don't know. Is that somebody we know?
But he is freaking the hell out. And regular Jerry goes, yo, calm down. And he hits him with a club. He passes out, it seems like.
Yeah, calm down. And then I hit him in the stomach.
Okay.
Like, not hard, though. I kind of pull it.
And the guy sitting at the desk goes, hey, cool it. Hey, okay. Let's not go crazy, okay?
Hey, this guy pooped himself. I'm going to take him outside and change him. There's no reason you guys should have to see that.
I think he'll be fine. I think we can let him stew. I want to talk to these two.
Great. Let's live in this stink. This is cool. Cool day. Cool garage. You know, my problem with the garage is always it smells so good. Now we really are fixing that up with a poop stink.
I don't know what to tell. Listen, we'd have to unchain him. He could fight us. I'm not interested in that. It's real hard to get this guy in his bindings. And it's going to be hard until we can, you know, indoctrinate him, get him working for us. But once he does, oh boy, God, I'm real excited about the possibilities that this guy's bringing to the table.
I'm going to ask a question. Hey, who's the guy in the metal helmet?
Let's just call him a rare import. We managed to secure him out of state and bring him in. It's not exactly on the books, but we paid a pretty penny for him, and I think he's gonna pay out big dividends out on the track.
Hey, DM,
yeah,
just out of clarity, so I can write it down. Is he like human sized or like ogre sized?
He is humanoid, but he's about 7 feet tall. Big and burly.
Oh my God, I know who it is. It's the bugbear. It's the bugbear.
What's a bugbear?
It's my hugbear.
His hugbear.
Harg.
Clark. It's Clark.
You see a single tear run out of the eye holes in this full metal helmet.
I'm gonna have to punch.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hey everyone, we're the Flophouse, one of the newest additions to the Maximum Fun podcasting network. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin. What is the Flophouse, you may very well ask?
We watch a bad movie and then we talk about it.
A bad movie podcast? Isn't that like every fifth podcast on the internet?
I'd answer that by saying, one, we've been doing this show for over 7 years, long before the entire premise of our show was a cliche, and two, shut up.
Sick burn.
I'd say that our show is more of a comedy podcast. A podcast about words that sound like other words. A podcast about me singing long, irritating songs like this one. A podcast about pitches for a Ziggy comic book movie. Or discussions about sex tarps.
Yeah, I mean, mostly it's a show about three friends just hanging out. And talking about ding-dongs.
That's mostly used to.
Wait, what?
So if you like any of those things, subscribe in iTunes today or visit MaximumFun.org to follow the show.
The Flophouse.
Woo!